state of Reading FC in July 2022 has never been more of a mixed bag. We're mere hours before the start of the season and we find ourselves written off by everyone with a pulse, no away kit, very little communications from the top office once again, and no recognised left back in the squad currently. However, a full pre-season under Paul Ince, some interesting and shrewd signings and some reasonably positive results over the last few weeks has left some fans very quietly optimistic indeed, despite the catastrophic season we all experienced in 21-22. I'm very much your stand-in host, Ben Thomas, and I'm joined tonight by Ross Webber as we embark on episode 302 to preview the season ahead. Ross, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great, thanks, Ben. Just bought my fourth streaming season ticket of the in a row for my sins, so I'm strapped in and ready for another season of Reading Football Club.
And I guess you must be one of the only Reading fans in Maine in America at the moment, is that right?
Yeah, I imagine so. I haven't run into any others. I actually ended up playing football against the guy from Derby last night, so I run into other Brits, but not other Reading fans for sure.
Okay, well, it's good to have you on the show anyway. Thank you so much for joining us at, 3 o'clock in the afternoon there, is it?
Yeah, just after 3 o'clock. Nice afternoon recording session.
Brilliant stuff. All right, well, we'll get into the meat and bones of the session in just a moment. Just a quick shout out to our sponsors, ZCZ Films, and of course, another season where they're sponsoring us. We couldn't do it without those guys. And if you like what we do, and you're happy with the podcast and the articles that we write, feel free to to drop us a little bit in the tip jar from the Patreon point of view. It's always very, very much appreciated and kind of helps us with the site ticking along. So thank you very much to everyone who does that and supports us a little bit financially.
Keep up to date with all things Reading FC. Follow the Tilehurst End on Facebook and Twitter.
This podcast is proudly sponsored by ZCZ Films. Remember, if you want to get involved in sponsoring the show, drop us an email to thetilehurstend@gmail.com.
All right, Ross. So Reading summer, as I said, has been an interesting one, really. There's been kind of lots going on. We had a big flurry start with players leaving. We had the confirmation that Paul Ince was in the hot seat for another season or hopefully for his first full season in Berkshire. And we've had some interesting sort of talking points really to look at. Has there been anything from your point of view that has kind of stood out, whether it be tactics, any transfers, any friendlies, anything at all that you think, yeah, do you know what? I've got a shred of positivity to hold on to here.
A little bit of everything. I think it's definitely feeling in a more positive state than I did a month ago. I think that at the end of the week in which we lost, Rinamota, Laurent, Swift had gone earlier, that was really the lowest stage in terms of being down in the dumps about our chances next season. But, the last month has been fairly encouraging. Really, everything since Rinamota left has been fairly encouraging. It seems like there's a real recruitment strategy in place. Paul Ince has talked a lot about bringing in players with fight and really continuing that sort of relegation battle, backs to the wall approach that he had in the last season, which I think at times he got a little bit too into, but, helped us out with survival in the end. So I can't really complain at all. So I'd say just the general state of recruitment in the last month and having a clear plan for the first time in years has been really exciting to see. And on top of that, players signing longer term deals is not something I expected at all this summer. Not what I expected at all, but to see, obviously Tom Ince is the manager's son, so maybe that's not quite so surprising, but Sam Hutchison signing a longer term deal, Buzan is signing a longer term deal. The rumors around Sara that he'll be signing a longer term deal. So exciting that players are being convinced that there is actually a plan in Berkshire. So yeah, I think that's the main thing I've been really impressed by in the last month or so.
I mean, when we look at the, I won't go over, specific games, but just overview, the pre-season results we've had, big cultures there right at the start in that kind of secret squirrel friendly when I think most of them were trialists, lost to Benfica when it kind of all fell apart in the second half, beat local rivals, I say that very tongue-in-cheek, but with all due respect to Maidenhead, we beat them, drew with West Ham, which was, was a really, really good game, to be honest. I thought we acquitted ourselves really, really well, won against Wimbledon. And then obviously, closed that pre-season with a loss to Brighton last week, which, you know, on paper looks a lot closer than it actually was in reality, really. But, you know, you look at those results as a body, and they're not too bad, really, are they, Ross? I mean, there's some positive shreds there, surely.
Not at all. Yeah, I really think it's been, like I said, in the last month, July's been a pretty positive month for the club, especially considering where a lot of people thought we'd be. And those preseason results just kind of go to prove that. I was able to watch the West Ham result. It was great to see, you know, even after we brought on substitutes, I thought Dejan Tetek had a great performance in his little piece of time there. So just nice to see players who maybe didn't get as much chance through injury last season, getting a chance in the preseason and showing that they can do something. You know, it's really exciting. And speaking of coming back from injury, the thing that I've been really happy with is that Mate is back on the score sheet. We know he can do it at the championship level. He's scored, I think it was upwards of 10 goals, three seasons in a row, maybe, or two seasons. I might be getting that mixed up, but
that's right. Yeah, I know you're spot on there.
There you go. So yeah, great to have him back on the score sheet, because I don't think Paul Ince quite knew what to do with Mate last season when he came back. And obviously, you know, the injury that he had, it was amazing for that he even got back in the season. And then they were being careful with him, not to re-injure it. So I don't think Paul Ince was super convinced by Mate last season, but after the preseason that he's had, it's going to be tough to leave him out of the first 11 on Saturday, I think.
I mean, the interesting thing that I saw in the week was a tweet that said that the championship isn't ready for a fully fit Yaku Mate. And I think that's absolutely spot on, because, you know, we've had this issue, you know, not just last season, but maybe even kind of the season before, where we lost key players at really key times of the season under Paunovic in his first season, and we kind of missed out on the playoffs. But, you know, last season, the injuries were beyond a joke, really. Do you think, looking at the kind of, you know, take out Lucas Jow with his injury against Brighton on Saturday, we seem to have quite a clean bill of health. Do you think that's going to make a difference in terms of the confidence of the players and conversely the fans moving into this season, Ross?
Yeah, I do, because I think it'll just be nice to be able to name the same 11 for several games in a row. I know that, you know, squad rotation and chopping and changing things is more in vogue than it has been in the past, but I do think that giving the squad a chance to gel in a solid 11 is only going to be good for their chances moving forward. It seems like the defense is going to be pretty set. It seems like that back three will be McIntyre, Holmes, and Hutchinson to start off with, at least. So if we can keep them fit, you know, that's going to be something to build on. And moving forward, I the Jow injury is unfortunate, especially with Shane Long still not match fit, according to Paul Ince. So the only area I'm worried a little bit at the moment is the forward position. But yeah, I think that if we can have a little bit of a better season from an injury standpoint than the previous two seasons, there's no reason we can't stay up with the goals that we have in the team.
I mean, we'll get on to, you know, predictions or your predictions for the Blackpool game in kind of later on in the show. But for me, one of the positives of this preseason is that it's been a full preseason. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, having Paul Ince, you know, whether he's the right man, the wrong man, the middle man, whatever, for the job, you know, having him kind of committed to the club early on has really helped drive recruitment. Obviously, you know, last week we talked about, you know, the influence of Mark Bowen, who I'm a, you know, personally very, very big fan of. You know, Carey's come in as well and will obviously help in that respect. But, you know, when I listen to Paul Ince and I look at the quotes, and I'm going to read you some quotes from Andy Preston's article later on. But he's in a bullish mood, Ross, isn't he? And I think the thing with him is that he just, whether or not he wants to prove people wrong, because he's been written off by absolutely everybody outside of Berkshire and even some in Berkshire, to be honest. But he really does look like he wants to give it the beans this year. And I have to say, I was very dubious, like a lot of people, when he came in. But he's won me over, and I really do feel that. You know, obviously I support the club and you know, want them to do well. But I'm finding myself sort of really getting behind Paul Ince now in terms of this wave of negativity that's coming towards us. How are you feeling about, you know, Ince and, you know, the way that he's coming across in the media and the way that he's kind of talking about the club, particularly in public?
I was right there with you when Ince came through. I wasn't super thrilled with that appointment. And even at the end of last season, even after we survived, I was still a little bit unconvinced for sure. And I remember tapping our editor for a few weeks to write something suggesting that, yes, Ince has kept us up, but it might be time to let him go after that. I've dropped that opinion at this point because I think you're right on. He's saying all the right things, you know, and I'd like to see that backed up with some, you know, something interesting from a tactical perspective, thinking outside of the box, maybe. Last season, I didn't love that he essentially came in and continued to play the same sort of Paunovic team. But clearly, the way in which he was pumping up the team, it worked. And that's kind of the rhetoric that I've been enjoying that he's continued. Like I said, it's great that he wants to bring in players with fight. We're going to need that again this season. You know, unfortunately, the reality is that we are now probably a bottom 10, maybe even bottom 6 club in this league, at least for the next season. I think some of our signings have been more impressive than what others in that sort of bracket can achieve, just because the draw of our club is still one of a championship club for a long time now. But yeah, I mean, he seems to have the right attitude, and I wouldn't be upset at all if he was able to prove a lot of people wrong. Cause I remember when he came through at Blackburn, it was considered, you know, a big deal that Ince had managed to secure that job. And then he really went off the boil for a while. So him coming back into the fold, proving a few people wrong and doing it for the mighty Ding at the same time, can't complain about that idea.
Yeah, well, let's hope for, you know, for Reading Football Club that this turns out to be, you know, sort of a success, certainly this season, and see where we go. But, I, you know, from my point of view, I'd like to keep the dugout pretty stable this season if we can get there, really. Talking of things that might be up in the air and question marks and potentially, you know, worrying about Reading Football Club. I know if we were doing this sort of the middle of last year, we could have done sort of 3-4 hours on this, really. But as I said in the start, there's a few more kind of positive vibes coming out of the club. Is there anything at the moment that, Ross, that you think, well, yeah, I'm not happy with that, or that's going to cause us problems, or, you know, anything in particular that you're not losing sleep over? That sounds too dramatic, doesn't it? But, you know, like, what's the burning issue for you at Reading Football Club at the moment?
Oh, it's hard to look past the left back problem, isn't it? Because as much as I'm excited to see Junior Hoylett return to the position that I remember him coming through in all those years ago, I don't think that that's a solution full time. So one thing I was going to say to praise the club is that I actually think their recruitment last summer wasn't bad too, but they just did it so late that we had basically lost a month before we really got rolling. Whereas this season, it seems like we've got a decent rubric of a squad in place, you know, before the first game of the season, which is great, other than at left back. And if Hoylett has signed up for a year thinking that he's going to play left back, then good on him. You know, I think that he'll do a job there, but I certainly don't think it's a long-term solution. So I'd like to see another left back come in before the transfer window ends. Certainly, I don't think we're going to get him before the season now, but certainly if that appears to be a position that other teams are attacking each time they play us, because they've noticed we don't really have a proper defender there, I would hope that provides the impetus to improve that position as quickly as possible.
Yeah, well, certainly last week, I don't know if you saw much of the game or any of the game really, but Brighton certainly taught us a lesson in how to use fullbacks properly with, you know, with Lamptey and Cucurella, who may well be off this week or next to Man City. But they were just first class, really. And I think if we're going to go down the route of the 3-5-2, we've really got to make sure that width is attacking enough, but also track back. I mean, obviously Yeardom is Andy Yeardom, and he works incredibly hard and does what he needs to do. But, you know, that left-hand side, I think going in Saturday is going to be interesting. And certainly, you know, when we come back to kind of targets later on in the show, I'll kind of pick that back up, really. But it's going to be interesting to see if we can fill that left spot, certainly. And I think one of the things that you brought up as well, Ross, was the striking options. And you know, we're in a situation where Jao may well be out for a little period of time. I've not seen any updates today on that or recently. Shane Long, we know, took a knock against West Ham and has had a back injury there. So it kind of leaves Mate. But, you know, we've still got Puskas, who on his day is not a bad striker to have, and whether or not he comes back in the fold. But, you know, my concern, and I think I, you know, had this last year, was the strength and depth. And I think with the recruitment that we've done, you know, we ended up with something like four or five goalkeepers at one point in the summer, which was just farcical. Obviously, right. Southampton's gone out on loan. But, you know, we are starting now to get a little bit more depth in certain areas. And it seems to be fitting the mould in which, you know, Paul Ince wants to play. He's picking players for the system rather than the other way around. And I think that you know, that could well sort of help us out and potentially stay in the league moving forward. Talking of the league, you know, it's looking incredibly congested this season. There's some real big boys. And I'm going to read you a quote from 442's season preview, which is available in all good shops. I'm not advertising their literature, but it's a good read, this one. And our, you know, highly esteemed editor has contributed from Reading's point of view to the little section there. In the magazine. But it says, Fulham, Bournemouth, Watford and Norwich have taken half of the last 12 promotion spots between them, which is, it's just a crazy stat. I didn't know that was the case. Yeah. When you see it written down like that, you know, Fulham, Bournemouth, Watford and Norwich, obviously we don't have to worry about Fulham and Bournemouth, but we've got Watford and Norwich back again, Ross. So who, you know, who for you, looking down the list of that, you know, the championship table this season, who's looking good to you in terms of potential promotion or playoff spots?
Yeah, not to be boring and immediately agree with that quote there, but it is really tough to look past Norwich. You know, maybe I don't know enough about what's gone on with their summer, but they've gone up, they've come back down, they've done it again. It's really hard to predict that they're not going to do the exact same thing until they show us that they're not capable of that. It looks like they've kept enough of their squad together. You know, a lot of the players that they signed at the during last summer for the Premier League, they weren't good enough for the Premier League, but I would expect that they will have an easier time of it in the Championship. So they already got a lot of squad recruitment done almost for this season a year ago, and it's just really hard to compete with teams like that can name a second 11 that's almost as good as Reading's, really. So tough to look past Norwich for me for winning the league this year. I see people are really high on Middlesbrough, which I'm not so convinced on. That strikes me as a situation similar to after Stoke brought in Michael O'Neill. Everyone thought they were going to have a fantastic season once he had a chance to do a full full run at it, and really that kind of petered out. So I'm not super convinced by Middlesbrough. Chris Wilder's clearly had success before with Sheffield United, but he's also had one of those strange periods you get sometimes in the Premier League after getting promoted, where everything just starts going wrong for you, and you can't buy a win. So it's difficult to know with Wilder whether he's really got the stuff or whether he's, you know, he is kind of a one trick pony there with Sheffield United before. So I'm not as high on Middlesbrough as I've seen others. I like the look of Sheffield United. I would say that they're probably going to be pretty high up there, and loath as I am to admit it, it looks like West Brom have improved. We can attest as Reading fans that they've certainly improved in midfield. So I could see them doing well early on. But the one thing I'll note actually about this that's super interesting, the World Cup break in the middle of the year makes this season even more difficult to predict, I think, than any normal, incredibly hard to predict championship season. We saw during Project Restart, some teams came back from that and really struggled to pick it up again. And that break in the middle of their season, you know, really, really caused momentum shifts. So I think we're going to see some huge momentum shifts and form changes after the World Cup break. And I wouldn't be surprised if some teams, you know, blitz it between now and November, but then completely fall away after Christmas.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm totally with you on Middlesbrough. Just going back to that point, I mean, in the notes, and believe it or not, I do make notes for the show sometimes. I've written Middlesbrough question mark. I just I don't see it. I mean, I'll probably be wrong, but I don't see the hysteria is more around Chris Wilder as a manager rather than the football side for me. West Brom, it's going to be interesting to see if Steve Bruce can gel those together. They've obviously signed Jed Wallace, our very own John Swift. Two of the most prolific chance players in the Championship last season. So they're going to be interesting. For me, I'm literally sick as I'm saying this, but Burnley are going to be really, really ones to watch because having Vincent Kompany come in from the style that they had with Sean Dyche, and having Kompany come in is going to be fascinating in a really sort of perverse way. So they're definitely a team I'm going to keep an eye on. And I think Sunderland as well, they're buzzing up there. Yeah. They're back in the Championship for the first time in a long time. Taking a long road round to get back, highly rated manager in Alex Neil there. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two teams, cope with the demands of the Championship. You know, it's very, very congested at top and bottom. And talking of the bottom, I know your answer is going to be, I don't care as long as it's not Reading, but who are you looking? We're pretty much setting our ways at TTE Towers. We know that we're a bottom six side at the moment. We're realistic about that as most fans are. But who are you expecting to be sort of in the mix around the relegation zone this season, Ross?
All right, so this is going to be fun because you've got Burnley there as one of your teams that you think is going to do pretty well. I've got Burnley as my potential surprise relegation candidate. And I'll tell you my reasoning that behind there. So I know Burnley have been having some issues financially with their ownership and things like that. We know how this is kind of an unexpected team to show up there. The usual ones we'll get onto, but Burnley are my dark horse to go down, as it were. They're having financial issues. We know that can be very distracting. We've seen that in our own club in the last few years. Kompany, certainly a known quantity in terms of a player and a celebrity in the United Kingdom. Great player for Manchester City and definitely a leader. Those Anderlecht teams that he coached didn't do that well. And Anderlecht are a huge team in Belgium. So maybe I don't know enough about what resources he had available to him. Maybe I'm, looking back starry-eyed on a time when Anderlecht were, a team that would regularly qualify for the Champions League. But his previous record and the issues going on at Burnley actually make me worry that they might be a team that a lot of people that have a really slow start, I would say, like Sheffield United last season really took a long time to get going and then ended up in the playoffs. So I wouldn't be surprised if come the World Cup break, Burnley are in the same sort of area as us. And then beyond that, I would say Birmingham look like Birmingham look like they're in the mess that the national paper seem to think that Reading are in. That really seems like a team that should be finishing below us, just given what has been going on there. And they haven't exactly been super stable as a Championship club anyway in the last few years, kind of having a similar record to us. So the shock to the system there, that could really be a problem for them. Outside of that, I think Rotherham are not likely to have enough. This level is just getting better and better every year. I don't necessarily think Reading's squad has gone that far backwards in the last 5 years, but the quality of the opposition has just gone up and up and up, and I don't see Rotherham having enough to compete. And then I think it's one of Blackpool, Wigan, and maybe Hull, and not us. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm going to stick my neck out and say I think the field for the relegation spots is going to be kind of wider than maybe the promotion spots. I think it's very, very difficult to call. Obviously we've been absolutely hammered by all the pundits and experts and armchair warriors and everything else. We're in the bottom three and we're getting relegated. Some people have put us at 24th. So we've got lucky and got 22nd from some people. But nice. I think the field for relegation is huge. I kind of I tend to agree with you on most points. I can't put Rotherham in there because I just respect Paul Warren too much. I think he's done a fantastic job. I know he's had sort of, you know, quite a few relegations on his CV, but, you know, as a manager, he's built a team there that really fight for everything. I think Bristol City will struggle personally. Wigan, you know, obviously Blackpool were mentioned. Birmingham, I think, will be down there. You know, Blackburn are going to be an interesting one as well. You mentioned Burnley of dark horses for relegation, which is a new phrase to me. Yeah. But I think Blackburn are going to be, you know, an interesting side to watch potentially slip down the table there. So, you know, Hull, we haven't mentioned Hull really. You know, they could be there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And then you've got the kind of also rounds in the middle, you know, Millwall, QPR, you know, Huddersfield have been tipped by some people. So it's going to be a big one, really.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. It's a huge field for it. And like I was saying with the World Cup break, we could have teams that just completely fail to get going again after that World Cup break and almost sleepwalk into the third tier. So, again, hopefully not us.
So this is where I'm going to pin you to the mast now, Ross. I literally need a number from you in terms of where you think Reading Football Club will finish the 22-23 season.
All right. So I think Reading will finish 18th, and I think that we'll likely be less than 10 points clear of the drop. But I think that we're going to start a lot hotter than a lot of people think. I think that we're going to catch some teams out. There's a lot of turnover in terms of squads, managers, things like that. You know, Cardiff have changed they're basically changed their entire squad. Blackpool, who were looking really good last season, you know, new manager that they're not crazy happy about. So, yeah, I think that we should be pretty far clear by February or March or so. And then I can see us sort of, you know, getting on the beach around late February, March time and sort of slipping back down to a lower finish. So I'm going to say 18th.
I think that's the dream, isn't it? You know, the stock answer is anything above 22nd. But I think we did a round table. So we had a couple of questions to answer from some of the regular contributors. And if it's not out when you listen to this already, it will be out very, very soon. But we kind of sat down and did a couple of predictions in article form. And I think I went for 19th, which I'll stick with. Right. If we finish 19th, I'll be very happy.
I'd take that.
Ultimately, we just need to stay in the league. So that's what we're going for. So we both said we're going to stay in the league, which is fairly confident that won't happen now. But we'll see. Yeah. July the 27th, 28th, something like that. So, you know, we're sticking our colours to the mast very, very, very early on in the pre-season, really. We're going to take a very, very short break so we can hear from our sponsors. And then we'll be back with you after that to talk about the Blackpool game.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Oz!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Right, Ross, all eyes on Saturday, okay? You're Paul Ince, all right? And you are looking to create your squad and pick your squad for the Blackpool game. What are you going with your starting 11?
All right. Well, I'm going to start with Lumley in net. I think that he's looked pretty solid in preseason. I'm enjoying his communication. Certainly doesn't mind yelling at his back line. So we'll start with Lumley, I think. And then I like that back three. Until we start shipping goals, I think I'm going to be pretty pro the back three. So I would go with Holmes on the right, Hutchinson in the middle, and then McIntyre on the left. I'd like to see some more of those sort of funky center back runs that McIntyre has been up to. And then it's kind of a 3-4-3. Yeardom as that right-sided sort of wing back player. And then in midfield, it's a little bit tricky. I definitely want Hendrick in there. I think he's been arguably our best performer in preseason. Looked really nice from what I've seen. In the middle there, it's a toss-up for me, though, next to Hendrick. I could see any of Fournier, Tetek, or Ajaria getting that one, and I would be perfectly happy with any of them. But I'll say Ajaria because he's the senior player, and I'd really like to start seeing him play more centrally this season. I got on my got on my soapbox about that a little bit towards the end of last year. So that's my dream for this season. And then Højlund on the left, seeing as we don't have a left wing back. And then with a front three, I just don't see how you can drop Mate at all. I think he's scoring. I don't want to mess with that. If Jao's fit, obviously he has to play. And then Paul Ince is not going to drop Tom Ince. So I would say it's going to be Ince up there with Mate and Jao. Perhaps on the left side, if we don't have Jao, I'd like to see Aziz in there. I think that's he was exciting last season when he could stay on the pitch. So hopefully we'll see a little bit more this season.
I think that, you know, Ince Jr., as I call him, he's done all right pre-season. You know, he's looked a lot more lively in that kind of, you know, that front three or traditional front three, should we say, than maybe he did towards the end of last season. Of course, he got injured in a horror tackle against Hull.
Oh, gosh,
absolutely horrific. But, you know, he was in a team that was lacking confidence. And, you know, this team that we've got now is interesting. Obviously, they haven't been tested competitively, but, you know, there is some confidence in that team. I suppose that the key question marks, really, and as we record this, Naby Sarr has not signed, but he has signed, if that makes sense. You know, there's been photos of him circulating and all the rest of it, but we've just not had the official confirmation, shock horror, from the Red NFC account. So I suppose the question mark really is if he slots into to that three-man defence, potentially pushing McIntyre into left wing back, which again would be really quite bizarre that we're talking about, you know, Tom McIntyre in 2022 playing a left wing back position. Of course, dropping my sweet Canadian prince, which would be awful for me personally. But, you know, as we said, or you said at the start, Ross, Højlund isn't a left wing back.
No, it's not.
And really, the key question mark is whether Jao's going to be available. And we kind of hope that he's going to be able to play some part early on. But, you know, I think the key question marks, really, I think the midfield picks itself. I think I'd be spot on with that. Jury's still out on Fauna. You know, played quite well against West Ham, but was not so great, particularly against Brighton, from what I could see. So, you know, the midfield kind of picks itself based on the new midfield, really, for us. And then, you know, Jao and Sarr potentially coming in as well. So they're the key question marks, really. I hate doing this, Ross, and I hate, you know, I don't like it when I get asked as a guest on the show, but score predictions, what are you saying for Saturday?
Oh, I'm going to go with a 2-1 win. I think we're going to get them this time. They've got the managerial turnover, so it's going to take them a little bit of time to work out their new system. From what I read, they'll be looking to go forward a bit more than they were last season. So I think that's going to play into our hands. You know, we've got a strong enough defense there to weather a storm. And then I think we've got a lot of fast attackers there down the wings that can really, you know, get up the pitch quickly and cause problems on the counter attack. So I wouldn't be surprised if we concede fairly early on. I think there's going to be some nerves, obviously, but I'd like to really see us. I think I'd like to see us win this one. I see Blackpool around us towards the end of the season too. So there's no reason we can't go to Blackpool and get a win.
I suppose the final piece prediction. I said I would read it sort of quickly, but these were quotes taken from Andy Preston, who obviously sat down with Paul Ince today during the media session, and Paul Ince said, "To do with targets, this is. It's been frustrating at times because we've missed out on a lot of good players, but we've got a core from last season we've added to that." And then he goes on to add, "We're on a tight budget." He says tight twice, which is concerning, but we all know that. And we have to think about priorities. We lost our whole midfield and we've also looked to strengthen at the back and we're still looking for a left back. Do you think, Ross, that by the time Cardiff roll round into town on the 6th of August, so next Saturday, we will have a traditional, recognised senior left back in the squad? Yes or no?
I'm going to say no. If Naby Sarr can take a photo in a Reading shirt on a Monday and still not be announced by Thursday, I think if we haven't got the left back, you know, pretty much nailed on and training with the club already, this could be one that drags a little later into August. So it might be a situation like last season where we have to maybe dip into the academy, maybe dip into some unusual sources to fill that left back role just for a few more weeks, but hopefully sorted before the end of August.
Ross, I absolutely hate your answer, but I love your logic. So it's 50-50 for me on that. That's a really good point. He was there in a shirt, wasn't he, Monday, and it's still not being announced, or Tuesday, exactly. Whatever it was. Early part of the week, anyway. Yeah. That kind of draws to close our kind of semi sort of pre-season or before season prediction show. Ross, thank you so much for joining me at sort of 3 o'clock your time. It's now approaching 4 o'clock your time. So I really appreciate you taking time out of your day to come on the show.
Yeah, thanks very much, Ben. Had a great time. Always love talking Reading FC.
And all that remains to be said for me is to wish everybody well, particularly the players and the management and everybody else in our 151st season. I think it's, as we said before, it's time to get behind Paul Lintz and the players and put to bed the horrors of last season, pulling together as a fan base and seeing where we can go. Shoulders back, give it some beans, boys, and up the ding.
You smile.